Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Huntsman, Perry, Romney, Obama. I have finished the political side of the Savage Nation. Now we can move on to something with meaning. And to me, the biggest story of the day is the fact that the hate group, CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations, if you want to call it that, this is the same hate group that just overturned the law passed by the majority of people in Oklahoma who did not want Sharia law in the state. The hate group CAIR went against the will of the people. This small, limited, but powerful hate group with funds from God knows where has now uncovered a video, apparently, of U.S. Marines who have urinated on the corpses of the Taliban enemy that they just killed. Apparently, they were distressed that the U.S. Marines were not dead and that the Taliban were dead, and they got back at the Marines in any way they could. Not to be outdone by this, Leon Panetta, the superb defense secretary, the man who was dismembering the U.S. military gun by gun, said that he's viewed the video of the Marines urinating on three corpses of the enemy, and he considered the images utterly deplorable. They immediately telephoned the Afghan president, Karzai, another superb individual, and they kowtowed to the warlord, I mean the president of Afghanistan, and pledged to the warlord, I mean the president of Afghanistan, a full investigation. Prior to the call, the warlord, I mean the president of Afghanistan, Karzai, described the video of the U.S. Marines urinating on the Taliban corpses, quote, as completely inhumane and condemnable in the strongest possible terms. In addition, the warlord Karzai, I mean the president of Afghanistan, called on the U.S. military to apply the most severe punishment to anyone found guilty in this crime. The video, which runs for less than a minute, depicts four U.S. Marines in combat gear laughing and joking as they urinate on three male bodies. The caption refers to the corpses as dead Talibans. But it is unclear whether the men were civilians or fighters killed after a battle, says the anti-American website that is posting this. And as you well know, they hate the U.S. military. And they can do anything, they will do anything they can to attack them. Not to be outdone by any of these people was the Marine Corps itself. The cowardly General James F. Amos, instead of backing his troops and saying anything in their support, covered his own behind, as all of these heavy-duty heavyweights would do. He's the commandant of the Marine Corps. And the great General James Amos said he will pull together the NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Service, and the greatest team and the best agents to assign them responsibility to thoroughly investigate every aspect of the filmed event. In addition, General Amos said he would assign a Marine general and a senior attorney to conduct a parallel inquiry. Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil, everyone, you're living in the new America. And so Amos, the great general of the Marine Corps, instead of backing his troops and saying, even if they did this, it was in the heat of battle, they just risked their lives. Some of their fellow soldiers were brutalized by these vermin and their cousins and their uncles, and it's better that they're being peed upon than my men. Okay, that's what the general should have said, but we have no leadership. These Taliban were the scum of the earth. And I'm on the side of the Marines. What side are you on? The UN? And Amos went on saying, the institution of the Marine Corps will not rest until the allegations and the events surrounding them have been resolved. We remain fully committed to upholding the Geneva Convention, the laws of war, and our very own core values. Well, I think one of your core values, General Amos, would be to be a general who supports your boys who you put in harm's way while you sit on your fat behind there in North Carolina, seeing what you could do after the war is over in terms of a contract, for God's sakes. So, as you well know, the Taliban are barbarians. They cut people's heads off. They kill women and children. But, of course, there's no mention of any of that. And this is a story I'm raising for you because I'd like to hear what you think. Should they be given a medal or given a court-martial? U.S. Marines who were accused of urinating on dead Taliban they just fought and beat, should they be given a medal or a court-martial in this cowardly new world that we live in? Not a brave new world, but a disgusting new world where the generals throw the boys overboard and throw them to the wolves of the media. This is disgusting. I realize there's another story that's somewhat not related. Punished for not crying, thousands of North Koreans face labor camps for not being upset enough about the death of Kim Jong-il. They're handing down six-month sentences in labor camps to anybody who didn't participate in the organized gatherings during the mourning period, who did participate but didn't cry and didn't seem genuine. I don't think we're too far away from North Korea, because this is a similar story to what I'm seeing in the Marine Corps. You mean after killing people who try to kill them and kill their friends, they were not sufficiently respectful of the vermin they just killed? Is that the problem? Cleveland, Ohio, Gary, you're the first up, but you won't be the last. Should the Marines who were accused of peeing on their corpses be given a medal or a court-martial?
An absolute medal, and let me tell you why, Dr. Savage. Because when you got a society that's feminized here, like it is in America, and you got barbarians on the other side of the aisle, there's no other way to deal with these people besides to go straight up and confront them.
What kind of men in America would have the guts to enlist in the Marine Corps to begin with, to choose to go into combat against these 15th century throwbacks, and to face them eye to eye, man to man, blade to blade, gun to gun, bullet to bullet, and we expect nice guys like Wolf Blitzer to enlist in the military? I'm almost fulminating here. I can't even do this show. I'm so angry at the Marine Corps for even buying into the hate group CAIR.
Well, this is exactly what's going on in America. It's getting feminized by little. Let me tell you something, Dr. Savage. We're going to be talking a lot about Muslims, a lot about Arabs this year, because Iran will be bombed this year. I can guarantee you.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen this year, but we do know that we have a president who has a middle name, Hussein, who seems to be overly sympathetic to the Muslim world. In fact, just yesterday, his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, announced scholarships for Muslim women only from around the world. Yes, you heard me right. Hillary Clinton wants to bring Muslim women to America and train them in science. Can you believe this is going on in your country? Well, you better believe it. It's like Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, only it's worse. It's a social disorder. 1-800-449-8255. Peter in New York from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Doctor, remember when the contractor was hanging from the bridge in Iraq, dismembered?
Yes.
And that it was barely spoken about. Oh, that's just them because they're so oppressed. Well, here we've got Marines peeing on dead Taliban.
You mean when the enemy in Iraq, I remember in that triangle area, it was in Fallujah, as a matter of fact, they dismembered our contractors and burnt them. The media said nothing about it. The media, the very same vermin media, the very same crustaceans like Wolf Blitzer said virtually nothing at the time. But today they're ganging up on our U.S. Marines. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do everything I can to help these boys. Because if we start to punish the only brave ones left in this country, we're finished as a nation. I've raised money in the past for boys falsely accused, and I'm going to raise money again for these boys. I don't care about my own problems. Somebody has to come to the aid of men who still have the balls to enlist in the Marines and face these throwbacks. And that's the end of the story. And I'm sick of this attack on our own troops.
Agreed.
What have the Taliban done to our troops? What have the Taliban done to the Afghanis? What are the Taliban responsible for in terms of human degradation? Why is our government punishing our Marines instead of saluting them? There's a way to do this, by the way. Incidentally, there is a way to do this. And that is to say, we don't know what happened. However, we are U.S. Marines first, and we support our boys. Whatever happened in the heat of battle will be looked into. Now go away and cover Newt Gingrich's waistline. Leave us alone. Leave it to the military. Okay? No media coverage when Marines are mutilated or are killed. But the vermin, the rats, the I don't have any words for them. It gets me angry because if we strip away all of the brave ones, who will be left? Who will be left if we continuously attack the cops who stand up to the throwbacks in the streets of America? And they can't do their jobs here in San Francisco. Do you know that the San Francisco Police Department just last week released a criminal who was caught burglarizing an apartment? They had the audacity to surround him on Telegraph Hill, and he screamed at them, "Leave me alone! Leave me alone! I'm liable to fall off the cliff!" The police left and let the burglar go home. They were afraid of being sued by Marvin, the liberal lawyer. They were afraid of being attacked by Governor Jerry Brown. The cops were afraid of being pursued by Attorney General Eric Holder for violating the rights of a burglar. We're living in an insane asylum and an insane society. And when you start ripping apart your police, you have crime in the streets. When you rip apart your soldiers, your frontline soldiers, I don't mean the contractors in training inside the Pentagon. To me, they're not soldiers. I have no respect for them whatsoever. I save all of my respect for the boys on the front lines. I have no respect for the fat guys inside the Pentagon. They all remind me of Newt Gingrich. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Top of the military command structure who are attacking our Marines before a trial has even been held. We are talking about the Defense Secretary Panetta. We're talking about the chairman or whatever his name is, the head of the Marine Corps, General James F. Amos, another politician who browned his way up to the top, no doubt, who has called together the Naval Criminal Investigative Service to see if they can screw these troops in the best way possible. They're going to assign another quisling Marine general and a senior attorney, another fraud in a uniform, to conduct a parallel inquiry to see if they can burn these troops. I want to ask you something. Would you tell your son to enlist in the U.S. Marines if this is the way they're going to treat them after a battle? You know, of course, if your boys had been killed in battle as a U.S. Marine and the Taliban had been celebrating with their heads on a sword or dragging them through the street, the Marines would say nothing for fear of offending the Muslim world, for fear of offending Council on American-Islamic Relations, for fear of offending God knows who. But when the enemy is defeated and our men do a victory dance, now no one is justifying desecrating the corpses of the enemy, but there's another way to have handled this. There's another way to have done this. If I were the Marine Commandant, I certainly wouldn't jump down my troops' throats before a trial. But then again, he's there because he knows how to brown those. He knows if he says one wrong word, he's in the same trouble that those in North Korea are who didn't cry enough when Kim Jong-il had his funeral. In other words, Leon Panetta wants tears in advance for the corpses of the Taliban. And, of course, the Marine Commandant must show that he himself has sufficient political correctness, and he is crying all the way and every night over the poor Taliban who were killed by our boys. Would you rather have had our boys killed? Would that have made you happier? Would the New York Times and Wolf Blitzer and the other vermin and the other salenterates of the media be happier if our boys had been dragged through the mud and their heads shown on a pike? Okay, I've made my point. What's your point? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Is there anyone on this show listening to this program who has actually fought the Taliban? Can anyone call the show and tell Council on American-Islamic Relations and the other fellow travelers who would like to see all of us wearing nooses around our neck? Can you call the show and tell the listeners to this great show who the Taliban are and how they treat their own Afghani brethren if they don't knuckle under to them? Tell us what they do to women and children in the villages of Afghanistan. And please don't tell me about President Karzai. Please don't tell me what he thinks. I'm not interested. Pittsburgh, PA, John, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I consider you part of the few and the proud. I want to thank you.
Well, I'm not a U.S. Marine. I have no military experience, but I have a big platform here on the Savage Nation where I think I have an obligation to love those boys who put their bodies on the line for my freedom.
You know something? It makes me proud to have been a former Marine. There's only about 200,000 of us, and there's a reason for that. And from my perspective, those Taliban got off lucky.
Who took these pictures, John?
I have no idea, and I don't want to comment on that because it's like you're saying, there's a lot of speculation on this. It's a good question, but I focus on the pride of the Marine Corps, and I'm going to tell you, I'm 58 years old, and if I could get back into the Corps, if I could have got back into the Corps 10, 15 years ago, I would have done it.
Okay, thank you for the call, and I appreciate your kind words. Indianapolis, Dan, you're next up. Go ahead. Medal or court-martial?
Medal. These guys deserve a medal just for being there. These 10 guys
That's
are
right.
fighting
again. Just for having the balls, the guts, the courage, the nerve to be on the front lines instead of another fat potential contractor with a bunch of medals on his chest sitting in the Defense Department waiting to see what he can grift out of a contractor.
Ask him to go do what they're doing. Yeah, right. These guys need a medal just for being there. I mean, no one has any idea what kind of...
What mother in this country, what mother in this great nation would ever tell her son to enlist in the U.S. Army or the U.S. Marine Corps if this is the way they're going to be treated after a battle? That's all. That's my position. I have an obligation to defend these boys, and I'm going to do it. Marines, right or wrong. My boys, the Marines, right or wrong. I could give a rat's behind. I don't care one iota about the Taliban, do you? What do you care so much about the Taliban for? When all of a sudden you're supposed to care about the Taliban? All of a sudden the media's in overdrive over the Taliban. Unbelievable to me what I have to live through. I never would believe this. If we had the same cowards running the military today in 1940, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. Did you hear what I just said? If General Amos had been in charge of the U.S. Marines in World War II, you'd either be speaking Japanese or German or you'd be a lampshade because they would have gone after the boys in Iwo Jima who burnt them with flamethrowers. Maybe you ought to go dig up some graves, disinter them out of Arlington. Maybe you can go get some old man's grave dug up and you could strip him of his medal for having the guts to have burnt them out of the caves in World War II. Why don't you do that, General Amos? Why don't you go revisit all of the men interred in Arlington and see if you can kill them again and destroy their honor again?
Savage.
You know, I'm absolutely disgusted by this, both as a Marine and as an individuals who have acted in complete opposition to every single thing that the Marine Corps and that America stands for.
As a captain, what would you have done if the men in the group were under your command?
I think you'd immediately detain them. I think you'd investigate them. I think you'd pass the what happened up the chain of command and let the proper channels work. And I think that they're going to be prosecuted under the UCMJ. And they should be, and they should be
shut up,
dealt
you
with
little
courting.
Rat, you. Here's Marine Captain Timothy Kudo. They dug up one Quisling Marine to interview on CNN. Obviously, he's the chain of command. In fact, if he keeps it up, he might become the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, given the type of presidency that we have. Here's Marine Captain Timothy Kudo stabbing his fellow Marines in the back before any evidence is actually in, saying that they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, feeding the rat in the CNN newsroom the red meat that the vermin on the left need. The story, of course, is a video showing men in uniform urinating on bodies. An Afghan warlord, I mean President Karzai, condemning this video, saying that they should face the most severe punishment for anyone found guilty in this crime. And, of course, Karzai says nothing when our troops are mutilated or killed, blown up by car bombs, etc. The Marines, of course, are eating their own, and they have attacked these men, and they're going to go after them with everything in the arsenal of the U.S. military, as they have done in the past. Now, I've supported the men falsely accused of a Haditha incident, which was started by a rat in the media from Newsweek, if you remember that story. And men faced years and years of trial because the government would spare no expense in trying to destroy our soldiers in the Haditha incident, which was a non-incident. Now we have a similar incident right now. Now, this is very similar to things that have happened in the past. If you remember, we had the situation under the last president where they came out with they were in dog collars. You remember that whole scandal. This is a little different, though, in the sense that these men were fighting for their lives, and it was our troops versus their vermin. And thank God our troops won, and the men were dead. Remember, they were urinating on dead bodies, not living bodies. That's number one. Now, again, I recognize that the uniform code of military, whatever it's called, that means they can screw anybody they want for any offense, including smoking a cigarette in the barracks. The uniform code of military injustice says you can't urinate on the body of a dead enemy. And, of course, the so-called Geneva Convention, which is silent virtually any time an American is killed or dragged through the streets or such, is suddenly quoted now by the U.S. Marine. In it, the four men in Marine combat gear unzip their pants and urinate on the bodies. One of the men says, "Have a great day, buddy." Boy, have we come a long way from the general who rubbed his bullets in pig fat. Man, have we come a long way from the time that a general rubbed his bullets in pig fat when facing the Muslim enemy. My God, how can we survive as a nation? How can we survive as a nation? As I say, there's a way to handle this. There would have been another way to handle this in a much more diplomatic way. Leave these boys alone. You sitting there on the comfort of your fat behind listening to the radio, sitting and judging how it feels to be there on the ground and facing these throwbacks who have no humanity. They found and killed the killers of their friends and family. Are they to put flowers on the graves of these rats? I say let them do what they have to do to be the men that they are, to have enlisted in the Marine Corps to begin with. We are facing a barbaric enemy. People living in a thousand years ago. And of course, if our Taliban had captured and killed our troops, what would they have done to them? They would have cut the bodies into pieces, put our Marines' heads on a stick with a sign underneath it. I don't advocate desecrating the bodies of the enemy. I don't advocate urinating on the bodies of the enemy. But I wasn't there, were you? Were you there? I don't think you were there. I don't think you were there. Where were you? What, were you raising money for Obama? So we have a big story here, because they're not going to stop until these men are hunted down. They're not going to stop. The hate group CAR will not stop until these U.S. Marines are hunted down and put away in prison. And I say that the boys deserve better. People, war is hell. War is hell. All wars are hell. And I guess unless you have been to hell and back, you have no right to judge them. You have only one obligation, and that's to defend the boys who have the guts to do what you don't have the guts to do. It's that simple. Albany, New York. Jason, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's an honor to talk to you. I listen to your show every day, and I read your books, and tonight is probably, you've never spoken in a way that's, like, matched my thoughts as much as you have tonight.
Are you a former combat soldier?
Yes, sir.
Where did you serve? You were a Marine or a soldier?
Army soldier, infantry, and I served in Afghanistan for a year in 2009.
So did you face these throwbacks?
I did, and if even a fraction of the populace understood what kind of scum these people were, nobody would care less about this video.
Tell the audience of the Savage Nation who these scum are. Tell the audience what the Taliban do to the ordinary Afghan citizen who will not cooperate with their terrorism.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're just savages.
Please don't insult my name.
I'm sorry.
I'm joking. There are noble savages and there are ignoble savages, but. Do you have any firsthand knowledge of what the Taliban actually do in Afghanistan?
Well, I've never actually seen any of their victims other than the chaos.
All right, so let's go to the next second stage. Have you heard about what they do to Afghani civilians?
Yes.
Well, what is it?
They mutilate them. They knock out little kids' teeth. They just totally destroy any sense of humanity that people would have.
And, of course, this doesn't get on YouTube and wind up in the hands of Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
No, but the
Marines... All right, there you go. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. And I say that you have to take the side of the U.S. Marines, not the side of the throwbacks. It's as simple as that. I want to tie this into a secondary question about death and dying. because I think we could talk about this until the end of the day. And of course, you're going to call and say they should get medals. And some of you will call just to agitate the audience and say they should be hung. I understand that. I understand how the world works. I wouldn't say a friend, but I would say a person I've known for 40 years died this morning of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. He was a sweet guy, Paul, a very innocent man, and he died in his sleep, thank God, and I think it was a blessing at this point. But, you know, I got to think about ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, because my PhD dissertation, in part, discussed this disease from a different point of view entirely. I also, at one point, was very involved in researching Alzheimer's disease. I remember very distinctly studying Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is a human form of mad cow disease. I also remember interesting stories about neuromuscular diseases, such as one called Diphyllobothriasis, which is an infection caused by the tapeworm Diphyllobothrium. And it's a very interesting one, this Diphyllobothriasis, because it occurs where lakes and rivers coexist with human consumption of raw or undercooked freshwater fish. And I told you just the other day in passing, stop eating sushi, don't eat any more sashimi. Remember I told you that? Well, there's a reason for it. This disease is particularly common in Japan because of sushi or sashimi. Now, you wouldn't know this because the folks in the media want you to think that Asians do everything better than Caucasians do. Africans do everything better than Caucasians do. Virtually every race on earth does everything better than Caucasians do, including the foods they eat, even if they're eating foods containing tapeworms. Now, around the middle of this 20th century in Japan, before advancements in food preservation, such as refrigeration, many sushi, sashimi connoisseurs suffered great morbidity and mortality from this tapeworm. They ate unrefrigerated sashimi and they got sick. And through research in parasitology, scientists came to understand that the primary cause was the relatively favorable parasite breeding conditions that are found in raw fish. This is an interesting side note. This disease is very rare in the United States today because of better food preservation methodology. I wouldn't eat raw fish in any case. However, this is very intriguing. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Diphyllobothriasis was once referred to as Jewish housewife's disease. Why? Because in the old days, Jewish housewives preparing the traditional gefilte fish frequently tasted the fish before it was fully cooked, and they wound up getting this tapeworm. It's a very interesting story. I once studied parasitology day and night. I had a very famous friend as a parasitologist who died a few years ago, Bob Desowitz. I loved the man. He taught me an awful lot. But the fact of the matter is, this disease, ALS, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, etc., is a phenomenally horrendous way to die. And I was going to ask you a crazy question today, which is, what do you fear dying from the worst? What would be your most horrendous? You know, I want to take the lid off this. Everyone listening to this show fears death. I don't think there's anybody listening to the show who looks forward to it, and there's no jokes to be made about it. And we all know the end is, et cetera. So the point is, which disease do you fear the most? I don't think there's anything worse than ALS, because I understand that in the end stages, your mind is as sharp as it always was, but you can't even blink an eyelid. 1-800-449-8255. We are talking about two topics. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, you know the topics. Civilization is at stake. We have the throwbacks fighting the greatest nation on earth. We have leadership in this country that is so cowardly that they immediately jump down the necks of our men willing to face a bullet for our freedoms. And the issue in hand is the alleged scandal of allegedly U.S. Marines peeing on the corpses of men that they just defeated in battle in Afghanistan. Now, no one is supporting peeing on the enemy's bodies, but if they did it, they did it in the heat of battle or shortly thereafter. And I think you have to give a man a pass when his heart's still pounding and he realizes he and his men are still alive and the enemy is dead. You know, you don't really know what that feels like because you're busy taking your Prozac and seeing how you can screw somebody in business. You wouldn't understand any of that. I am not a warrior, but I understand things you can't understand because that's my job. It's as simple as that. So in that sense, I take their side, not the side of the enemy. You, of course, as a reasonable schmuck, always take the side of the other man, always take the side of the un-American, always take the side of the anti-American, and always take the side of anybody who is against America. So therefore, you think it's a reasonable thing to suggest that these men should be punished to the full extent of the law. Well, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Naples, Florida, Glenda, welcome to the Savage Nation. So you're on the radio. Go ahead.
You asked the question, how would you hate to die? How do you fear dying most? At the hand of someone else.
Ooh, I didn't know you were calling on that. Forgive me for being so harsh. So you don't fear dying from natural causes?
No.
You fear someone breaking in your house, for example, and killing you?
Yes, or just that is always been one of... That's the only thing I fear about dying is at the hand of someone else.
I understand. You know, I watch the show I Survive sometimes, and I'm amazed at that show. You ever watch that one on cable? It's an amazing show. The things that human beings will do to other people is something beyond my comprehension. And by the way, this is very intriguing. The very same liberals that would keep a mass murderer, rapist, child desecrator alive for 30 years with endless appeals in this country, the very same rats and vermin and solenterates in the media who have nothing but sympathy for such devils are jumping all over the U.S. Marines for having had the nerve to have survived a firefight in Afghanistan and having peed on the bodies of the enemy. Think about what I just said to you. Absorb the entire paragraph before you open your pie hole. New York, WOR, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a former Marine officer, and I'm currently a federal agent, and your comments are spot on, absolutely spot on about the Marine generals today. All they care about is their next star or the big job after they retire. They have absolutely no guts and never stand by their Marines in situations like this.
Well, they're politicians, and they're looking for a contract or to pogo stick their way up inside the command structure, which would be well and good if we had a commander-in-chief who was a former military man himself, but we don't. We have anti-military men running the military, and we have an anti-military man running the government.
Absolutely.
And I'm not asking you to answer me, because as a federal agent, I know you have to watch your back. No doubt you're being monitored right now by Big Sis.
I understand that.
Thank you. I have a question as well for the audience. How do you feel about the Drudge Report and other outlets being monitored by the Department of Homeland Security? You think that's a sensible thing for a government to be doing? Do you think it's a worrisome thing for your government under Barack Hussein Obama to be doing? How do you feel about the U.S. government, the Department of Homeland Security, which is violating, by the way, violating the terms of its foundation, to be violating our very security, to be stealing our very freedoms, is a violation of DHS's mandate? Now, I shouldn't have to be saying this. It should be said by our Congress. It should be said by our media, but it isn't being said. We wake up and find out that the DHS is monitoring the Drudge Report and other sites. That should be worrisome to anybody. Why, a number of years ago, the great Francis Ford Coppola, remember him? Remember the has-been Francis Ford Coppola, who is now sort of like the character in The Godfather, just drinking his own wine and sitting in a hammock in the vineyard? The man who makes the movies no more? But Francis Ford Coppola, once one of our greatest filmmakers, once did a movie, maybe 20 years ago, called The Conversation, if I'm not mistaken. And what it was about was government agents sitting with headphones, listening in on the conversations of ordinary Americans. And all the liberals were in agreement at the time that that was a terrible, terrible thing for a government to be doing, spying on its own citizens. But then again, I think it was during the Reagan administration that the far-left radical Francis Ford Coppola made the movie The Conversation. Yeah, I remember a lot of things that I think many people have forgotten. But now that we have an actual government spying on the Drudge Report, and by the way, anyone who goes on any of these sites is also entered into a database for the wonderful, superb Americans in the Department of Homeland Security to apparently have in a permanent database. How do you feel about this? Why do you think Obama is spying on American citizens who go onto websites? 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. We're assigned to the Sundan District of the Humboldt Province. And these Marines were should have been guarding a litter, not tampering with it. This dereliction of duty, violation of UCM J code, and also a violation of their direct orders.
Okay, so you think they should be what, hung or put in jail for life? What should the punishment be?
Well, the punishment should fit the crime.
So in other words, what, the Taliban should get to pee on them?
Yeah, that would be a good start.
You're not a Marine. You're a liar. You're a liberal lawyer. You never served in the military. You're too quick on the uptake.
I have more.
You're a liar. You're just another liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're stabbing your friends in the back. You're not a Marine. Marines don't do that. You're a liar. The most you might have been would have been a lawyer in the U.S. Marine Corps. That I would have accepted, that you wore the uniform, but you used it only to get over on the men who were much better than you were. Okay, Richmond, Virginia. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm mad as hell. I did my time in Iraq. I was there for about a year. And these people aren't like Boy Scouts. They're not nice people, basically. And the first time you have someone try to peel your head back and make a canoe out of it or pepper your body with shrap metal, you step outside of yourself and you're thinking as a warrior, almost like a primitive instinct, survival. You don't have time to think about PC. And I'm personally just sick and tired.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The men like you who have the guts to enlist and face these throwbacks should not be judged by people sitting in their living rooms listening to a radio show. Or worse yet, by those fat cat generals who are going to throw them to the wolves of the media. Mainly Wolf Blitzer, that little rat.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have one group of Americans saying, look, this is the enemy. They've killed countless Americans. Who cares? What's your response to that?
Well, I think that that's what makes us different. And I think even tactically, beyond the ethical right and wrong of doing the right thing and giving them a proper burial. I mean, we gave Osama bin Laden a proper burial, a proper Muslim burial. We can do the same thing for everyone.
Oh,
that we
shut up. So they found a quizzling little brown nose, a Marine Captain Timothy Kudo, stabbing Marines, fellow Marines in the back, doing what he has to do to appease the superb individuals at the top of the Marine Corps command structure who've already said that these men are guilty and they're going to punish them to the full extent of the law. We are talking about Marines who allegedly, after a firefight, allegedly peed on the corpses of the dead Taliban while their hearts were pumping and their brains were full of blood. And here we are, the American people, sitting here in the comfort of our cars or our homes, and we're supposed to punish these boys? There's a way to do this, and there's a way to not do this, and the way this is being done is not the way to do this, in my opinion. The head of the Marine Corps should show some respect for the troops that serve under his command. And what he should have said was, first of all, let's not rush to judgment. We don't know whether this is a true a true tape or not. It could have been photoshopped by the enemy. That's number one. Because it came to us from the suspicious care group. That's number two. Number three, he said, I'll always back my boys first and take the boys' side first. And until we know the truth, we're not going to rush to judgment. Then he could put out another press release a few days later saying, if it turns out that these boys did act in this manner after a firefight, we're going to make certain that they don't do it again and move on. You see, every day I watch the Obama administration get away with virtual murder. Either someone's given $1 billion loan that they don't pay back, or $500 million loan that they don't pay back, or this one screws the American people. And then I hear a conversation from the media with the government officials saying, well, why don't you tell us how we can prevent this from happening again? And right away they talk about how they make sure it won't happen again. But when it comes to our Marines who are in combat in a life or death situation, they don't have such liberalism. All of a sudden their liberalism goes out the window. Or when it comes to people in this country who are mass murderers or child rapists, or worse yet, they've done crimes you can't even imagine. The very same liberal media will argue that they should have 30, 40 years of appeals. Appeals. The uncle did this to them, the mother did that to them, the father did that to them. They weren't given a proper judge. They weren't given a proper jury. The lawyer on the other side was seen going to the bathroom and wiping with his left hand instead of his right. They come up with every excuse to keep the rat alive for 30 years. But here we have troops who just fought in a life and death struggle, whose blood was running in their head, and they were glad to be alive. They were glad to be able to breathe another second. I don't think any of us listening to this show, unless you've been in the military, could ever understand what that means. And you want them to behave the way you do on a soccer field? Are you out of your damn mind? No, this is a rush to judgment. And while I say that, I also say, of course, we don't want to desecrate the bodies of the enemy. That's not something that we should encourage. But in a situation like this, what you do is you do it quietly. You do it quietly, and you protect the boys who have the guts to enlist in the Marines and the guts to face the enemy. You protect them at all costs, and you don't cater to the warlord, Karzai, or any of the throwbacks that our boys are fighting over there, or you get them the hell out of there to begin with. What are we doing there to begin with? I am stunned by this, and I'd like to know why this tape came to light today. The bigger question is, who released this tape? Who took this tape, who released this tape, and why was it released now? That's the real question. That's the real question. And here's another question for you. Would you encourage your son to give his life for this country? Would you still encourage your son to enlist in the military with a president like this? Would you still encourage your son to enlist in the Army, the Rangers, the Marines, the SEALs, when you have a commander-in-chief who's an anti-military, through-and-through guy, through-and-through a lifetime military hater? Through and through, his whole life was hating the military. You want to go to the head of the snake? Why don't you ask yourself why the commander-in-chief doesn't throw his lot in with the Marines instead of with the Taliban? Why doesn't the graying Obama, why doesn't the fundraiser-in-chief say, wait a minute now, these are our best and our brightest, and I'm not going to see them thrown to the wolves until we get to the bottom of this? Where is the fundraiser-in-chief in a situation like this? You're telling me he's a proper commander-in-chief? You telling me that? Okay, we have a lot of questions to talk about. We're talking about Department of Homeland Security under the terrifying Janet Napolitano, who has become a tyrant in our own life, a living tyrannical figure. The most tyrannical figure in the history of American politics is now Janet Napolitano. The most tyrannical figure in American history is now Janet Napolitano. She runs a bureaucracy that is out of control with a $1 trillion budget that is now turning on the American citizenry, monitoring the Drudge Report and other websites for no reason whatsoever. Why? Terry in Wisconsin, why is Janet Napolitano doing this? And why is she getting away with doing this? And why aren't the Republicans making an issue of it?
My beloved doctor, ever since 9/11, we have become a politically correct military police state in this country. And it's very strange to me that we don't protect our own anymore. We protect everyone else. What kind of altruism is this? It confuses me. It makes
punished
my life...
Punished for not crying. Thousands of North Koreans face labor camps for not being upset enough about the death of Kim Jong-il. If they didn't cry enough or didn't seem to be crying genuinely, they're going away to prison camp for 6 months. Now, this sounds very much like political correctness to me. And I would say monitoring websites to see what people are saying is along the same train track. Of course, it's not at the same place that North Korea is yet, but give Janet Napolitano time. She's only had 2 years in the job. You know, after 40 years in the job, she might be able to reach the level of North Korea. San Diego, Brandon, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I've been trying for about an hour. Thank God I got on. Yeah, honestly, I just think that it's getting blown out of proportion. I mean, it was obviously... inappropriate for what they were doing. But, I mean, it's just not fair to crucify them. Considering
inappropriate's another great PC word out of the universities. That's a great word for an after-battle scene. It's inappropriate. Inappropriate. In World War II, they collected the artifacts of the enemy. They collected various and sundry artifacts. I guess that's illegal as well, to take home a sort of memento of the kill. That would be terrible for the fat Marine Corps generals who would have to take time out from their potential contracting if they caught a Marine taking home, let's say, the scarf of an enemy. Pittsburgh, PA. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, sir. My son's a Marine in Okinawa, and he came home on leave a few months ago, and he said, Dad, I want to go to Afghanistan. I said, don't do it. He said, all my friends have been over there. I said, this government will hang you out to dry. There's no loyalty whatsoever under this Obama administration. You know, he was 18 when he joined. We talked about it for a year. Had reservations, but he's his own man. He wants to stand up and he believes in this country, but it makes me sick. And sir, you are spot on exactly with this Marine Corps general. They spout off and Semper Fi, protect your own.
Semper Fi my behind. General Amos has shown that he has no Semper Fi for anyone but the politically correct Obama administration, who is an abomination. President Obamination. How's that? Write it down. Make a bumper sticker. Tell him Savage sent you. President Obamination. It'll be all over the internet and someone else will take credit like they did for Big Sis and every other thing I created. Obamination. President Obamination. He should come out today and back our U.S. Marines and say don't rush judgment. They're ours. Take our side, not the side of the enemy. I'm stunned by this. I'm shocked by this. Sacramento Nicholas, how do you feel about this? Medal or court-martial?
Definitely
no
medal.
Answer.
No one out here understands the blitzkrieg on the spirit that these guys are going through. So it's called me to add to your jazz poem, this one right here, from connecting the dots to connecting with pot. That's where this country's at right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, well, I don't know about connecting with pot. I think I've made my point. I'm going to clear this one up and move on to other topics. Arnold in Texas, should the men in the Marines accused of this incident be given a medal or a court-martial?
Absolutely, they should be given a medal, and you should be given a medal for that opening monologue, sir. I have waited so long to thank you, Dr. Savage. You put words to the radio, what goes through my head.
Yep, I do, and I realize what my role is in society, which is to try to straighten out an insane world and an insane government that's become almost a rogue government that's turned on its own civilians, its own civilian population. This government under Barack Hussein Obama is like an autoimmune disease. It's like a autoimmune disease that is turning on its own body politic. Why the hell is the Department of Homeland Security monitoring the Drudge Report and so many other sites? That's an autoimmune disease of DHS. And God only knows if we had a real Republican Party, this would not go on. She would be impeached tomorrow. If we still had a Republican Party that mattered for a damn thing, they would hold hearings the minute they can reconvene from whatever, wherever the heck they are, and they would make certain she's fired if she gave the orders for this. And this would not go on anymore. This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare here. Kansas City, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think they'll make a recruiting poster out of it. I think there's a lot of guys out there joining up just for the chance.
Yeah, if we had a government that really cared about killing the enemy as opposed to denigrating the U.S. military. Here we have a government doing everything it can to pretend that it's patriotic, when in fact it's doing everything it can to decimate the U.S. military. Panetta is taking the military apart brick by brick. Brick by brick. While China is arming to the teeth, while Russia is attacking us verbally and every other way it can to strangulate, to entangle us, while Chavez is linking up with the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, our military is downsizing and attacking the U.S. Marines at the same time. Very dangerous confluence of events. I am outraged. I would suggest you tell your son not to join the U.S. military. How's that? I would suggest that if you have a patriotic son, tell him to hold his fire. Do not enlist in the U.S. military until there is a change of the guard, because they're in great danger if they go in there. There's great danger that they'll be thrown to the wolves for doing what they were sent to do, which is kill the enemy. Pittsburgh, PA, Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi. My son,
He just finished basic training for the Marines, and I begged him not to go, but he wanted to fight for his country, and I made him listen to you and read the Drudge Report, and he still believed in the American government, the American way.
Well, good for him. I'm glad he believes in the government. Which government does he believe in? Which part of it?
That's what I
Which
believe.
Part of the government does he believe in? Department of Homeland Security? I mean, you know, God bless him for being patriotic, but when we have a government that will not protect its own, and we have a government under Barack Hussein Obamanation, who is investigating citizens who go onto websites, I don't think that we need him in Afghanistan. I think we need him in the streets of America if this keeps up. I think that's what's going to happen, and I think this administration is trying to provoke some kind of civil disobedience. They almost are trying to provoke it in order to declare a national emergency. That's what's starting to worry me. I almost see a provocation going on here. It's as though they're poking and poking and poking and poking, hoping to God to provoke some horrible action. When you see that loudmouth wench, Debbie Wasserman, whatever her name is, from Florida, attacking the Tea Party without having said one word about the violent, disgusting vermin in the Occupy movement, you know they're trying to provoke the patriotic, decent American. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Gingrich, Romney, Bain. The rain and Bain falls mainly down the Spain. Okay, I've completed my campaign coverage. We can now go back to something of greater significance, which is life and death and honor. Duty, honor, country, something that the President of the United States of America should know something about since he's Commander-in-Chief. Duty, honor, country. We have men fighting and dying for this country. One way or the other, that's the way it is. They have the guts to put on the uniform, strap on a weapon, and face the enemy, who is ferocious. Make no mistake about it. The enemy is ferocious. The enemy is a throwback to a time in human history that is long past most other people's. It is a time of 500 to 1,000 years ago. And now we have a case of four Marines who had the guts to strap on a uniform, strap on a gun, and go into combat against these throwbacks and actually kill them. And then, while their blood was running high, they allegedly urinated on the corpses. And now, of course, Wolf Blitzer and the other anti-American vermin are in a fit, demanding that they be hung from the nearest lamppost. And the Marine Corps is very happy to oblige. Leon Panetta is very happy to oblige. And they're going to throw the book at these poor guys. Well, let me tell you something. When we find out who they are, I will do what I've done for the men at Haditha in the past. I will donate a certain amount of money to the defense fund. I will ask you to donate to the defense fund. And we, the people, will do everything we can to help these boys who are going to be thrown into a greater harm's way than they were in Afghanistan. Because make no mistake about it, the courts are more dangerous than is Afghanistan. The judges are more corrupt than the Taliban. And the lawyers for the other side, in fact, your own lawyer may be more corrupt than the Taliban. And these guys are innocent guys. These Marines are innocent boys, innocent in many different ways. They may be brave, they may be warriors, but they're going to be like sheep to the slaughter once they get into that legal system. And we've got to protect them from the rats with law degrees and the higher-ups in the command structure who will not back them. That's what I'm telling you. It's that simple. Houston, Texas. Vic, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I think that there's more to this story about the Marines that urinating on these Taliban fighters. I think the fact right now that the military is being put up to basically be trimmed back, and particularly the Marine Corps, I think
yes.
It's going to give folks a lot of fodder to really make the point that, yes, we need to trim back the Marine Corps, see how bad they are, and so on.
That's
so
right. You got to understand that the metrosexual, anti-American, anti-male, anti-testosterone, anti-military elements inside the Obama administration hate the U.S. Marine Corps because of two reasons. A, it's too white, and two, it's able to fight.
Savage.
Okay, we got the big story of the day is the peeing story, and you do have to ask yourself why this has become a story right now, at a time when Leon Panetta is there with the meat axe, cutting the military to the bone, targeting specifically the, I would say the most warrior cast of all of the military is in the Marine Corps. Everyone knows that. It is the least diverse, and that, of course, is a crime in Obama's America. You can't have that. I mean, you can't have all of these white boys who are willing to die for the country in one place. I mean, they pose a threat to the government. Because if you're going to have a government that becomes fascistic and moves to actually abridge the Constitution, you have to first get rid of any possibility that the Marine Corps itself might rise up against you. So what you do is you take apart that division of the military and turn it into a picture of the rest of the military, which is very, very, very diverse and actually very meek. Very, very meek. And that's what you want, is a meek military, something along the lines of the Portuguese military. That would be something along the lines of the first dog, the water dog Bo. And we should take an example from the Portuguese military. And that's what we should be copying right now. We don't want a real warrior military. After all, that offends CNN and MSNBC. What you want instead is something that is modeled after the Portuguese water dog, something that could swim but not bite. Michigan, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Yeah, my son was gonna join the Marine Corps, and I told him absolutely not. I was in the Special Forces back in the 1980s, and I told him absolutely no way would I allow him to go. Well, I couldn't stop him, but I strongly advised against going into the military under these circumstances.
Yeah, I would say go into the military when we have a commander-in-chief who will respect and protect the men. But you're putting your son's life at risk if you encourage him to go into a military with this kind of command structure.
Oh, absolutely. Even under Bush, under the way they operate.
Oh, Bush threw the boys to the wolves. Bush was awful.
Absolutely.
Bush was awful as a commander-in-chief, just awful. Look what he let happen to the guys at Haditha. They were all innocent from day one.
Just as bad. Absolutely. These people are looking to get rid of as much as they can, and anything's a political news story. And absolutely, it's just awful what these guys
are
doing.
Well, I think we've come to the conclusion, Steve and everyone else in the Savage Nation, that the reason this came to sight, to cut them severely back so they no longer pose a threat to the U.S. government. I don't know how else to say it other than straight up. I mean, we remember Abu Ghraib, right? That was not by the U.S. Marines. That was by a different division of the U.S. military. And that was a big scandal. And look what that did to the military. But here we have the U.S. Pentagon calling the warlord, I mean, the president of whatever country you might call it, Afghanistan, and apologizing to them. It allegedly shows a group of Marines urinating on militants' corpses. Now, they're called militants. I wouldn't call them militants. That's something that I would leave for the Washington Post. I'd call the enemy militants. I don't like that word. I wouldn't call the enemy militants. I'd call them the enemy. I'd call them barbarians. I'd call them throwbacks. I certainly wouldn't call them militants. This image, which has been cropped by the Wall Street Journal, shows what is believed to be U.S. Marines urinating on the bodies of dead Taliban soldiers in Afghanistan. Click to see a larger image. Warning, the image is graphic. So I'll click to see a larger image. Instead, I get a picture of Obama dressed up as Batman for Halloween. What? I thought I was going to get a bigger picture. Where's the bigger picture? Shows Obama at a party dressed up like the Mad Hatter. What is this? I got tricked. In damage control bid, Pentagon calls Karzai over video. I can't seem to get the picture. I don't know why. I'm trying to get it, and I can't. It goes right to a picture of Obama at a Halloween party dressed up as the Mad Hatter. Something's wrong with that picture. I don't know. Military to investigate. I can't open it. I don't know what's going on. Here, wait, slideshow. I have trouble with my computer. Can DHS help me open this up? Because I can't open the article. Can DHS help me open the bigger picture where they're actually shown peeing? A file picture shows Afghan President Hamid Karzai during the last day of a meeting with Afghan tribal elders and leaders in Kabul. You know, when the Geneva Convention was passed, I don't think that the Afghan tribal elders nor the individuals who then eventually became the Taliban were a member of that meeting in Geneva. Do you think that they assigned on to the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? She condemned a video published on the internet that appears to show U.S. Marine. Well, she wouldn't miss an opportunity to attack the military. Remember what they did when Bill Clinton was president? You remember how they referred to the military as pigs? You don't remember any of that, do you? By Thursday night, Lieutenant General Curtis Scaparotti, the deputy commander of U.S. force in Afghanistan, was preparing to send out a letter to coalition troops reminding them of the, quote, proper conduct in war and conflict and the coalition's values, differentiating between right and wrong and treating insurgent bodies with respect. Well, that's very culturally correct. I would think that everybody in the U.S. military should be sent to sensitivity training with Taliban as trainers. I think that would be a good way to spend the military funds, the military funds that are left, would be to send them to sensitivity training. How about when they did that? Anyway, let's not go into this. What have the Taliban have done when they had this opportunity? Well, let's see. When they took over Kabul in 1996, the Taliban brutally killed Mohammad Najibullah, the deposed communist president who was seeking refuge at a UN compound in the city. And the sensitive Taliban, being, of course, represented by the group called CARE, the Taliban hung his castrated corpse and that of his brother from a traffic light on a busy street in Kabul for all to see, in violation not only of all human tradition, but in violation of Islamic tradition. In recent years, the Taliban have hung suspected government spies' corpses from trees in areas they control. And yet, of course, CNN never caught those videos. Instead, they only have this video. It leads me to believe that there are many questions to this that have not yet been answered. Again, I'm trying to get to the slideshow and can't get to it for some reason. It goes to a picture of the First Lady and the President dressed up for Halloween. I don't know. I go to the, it says click here to see the picture of the urination. Instead, I see the abomination, not the urination. I'm trying to see the urination pictures. And it goes right to the abomination at a Halloween party. Where's Debbie Wasserman Schultz on this, who seems to hate the United States Marine Corps? Honolulu, Hawaii. Joe, you're calling from the Marine base in Hawaii. What do you have to say about this? Did the Marines do something horrible enough to face a punishment by hanging?
No, I'm a retired Marine. I do have a perspective on this. What they did was not honorable. However, given the comparison with what the Taliban has done, I think it's minor. I might give them latrine duty for a couple of weeks at most. And what I want to know is, even if we pursue these guys and bring them to some sort of court martial, is that going to make the Taliban treat our people any better and their own people any better? And I don't think so. So I want to know, if it's not going to make any difference, why are they blowing this out of proportion? What's the big deal?
Look, I think a caller before led us in the right direction. Remember, Panetta is cutting the military to the bone, and they want to target the Marines in particular because it's too white and too able to fight. And consequently, what they have to do now is besmirch the record of the Marines and show them for what they are, which is warriors. And the last thing you want in the new military under Obama are real warriors. What you want is something entirely different. You want smart men in good uniforms who can serve drinks in the White House. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, they're going to turn this into a big deal. Panetta assures Afghans a full probe into video. Of course, he didn't demand a full probe. Probe of what the Afghans have been suffering under with regard to the Taliban. In fact, what they're suffering under Karzai unto itself should be probed, but we won't even go into that. That's all. Pentagon leaders scrambled today to contain damage from an internet video purporting to show four Marines urinating on Taliban corpses, an act that appears to violate international laws of warfare and further strains U.S.-Afghan relations. Their unit, the 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, returned from Helmand Province to Camp Lejeune last September. Marine officials said that a battalion officer confirmed to investigators today, based on his examination of the video, that the four men depicted urinating had been members of the battalion. Two have since moved on to other units. Deplorable, inhumane, breach of military standards, blah, 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 blah. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Martin Dempsey, said he was deeply disturbed by the video and worried that it would erode the reputation of the entire military, not just the Marine Corps. And then we heard the rest of it. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus, not to be outdone, the top civilian executive of the Marines and Navy, said it was appalling and outrageously offensive. And Marine Commandant James Amos called it wholly inconsistent with the high standards of conduct and warrior ethos demanded in the Corps from the safety of his comfortable, warm office in Washington, D.C. So there it is. There it is. So that's the story. What more can we say? You know that they're going after the Marines because they want to dismember the Marines as fast as they can because it's a threat to the liberal establishment, more of a threat than you can imagine. They're afraid of them. They fear them. They hate them. They want them gone because they're too white and they're too able to fight. Did I say things a little too abruptly for you? I'll repeat it for you. The reason that the liberal establishment especially fears and hates the U.S. Marines is that of all of the services, it has the highest preponderance of white men and the highest preponderance of actual warriors as opposed to desk jockeys. Write it down. Write down the paragraph and see if there's anything wrong in what I just said. There's nothing wrong in what I just said. It's 100% true. It's blunt. It's true. And it's in plain English. And that's why the liberal establishment both fears and reviles the U.S. Marine Corps. And why Panetta has been taken from the confines of a university position in Monterey, California, where he was in deep retirement, and put into this position, strictly to destroy the U.S. military. That's our new Defense Department under Barack Hussein Obama. Now, you see, I shouldn't be saying these things. This should be said by the Republican administration. This should be said by Boehner, God knows where he is today, after he lost that battle of the blinking contest in the showdown with Obama. He's not been seen since. Apparently, he's having new pink ties fitted somewhere in Hong Kong. But there's no leadership. We have no opposition party. There's no Tory party in America. There's no concerted voice of America anymore. It's all either left or further left. All you get is a left-wing position or a further left-wing position. So it falls upon the backs of men like me who put themselves at great risk. Believe me, I'm no fool. You know, in a few short months, I'm going to reach a certain age, the biblical 70. And I understand that certain things are best left unsaid. I'm not a child. I am not a child. So when I say to you that the Marine Corps is being decimated because it's too white and too able to fight, or I say to you that the most hated woman in the history of America, the face of a tyrant herself, is that of Janet Napolitano, who has far too much power and seems to be power mad and out of control in that she's monitoring websites now. Not worried about Taliban, not worried about MS-13. Again, I realize that I shouldn't have to be saying this, but where are our voices? Where are they anymore? Where have all of the good men gone? Where are they? So here I am, a man alone, like a fool on the hill, sitting here with my dog, saying what I think needs to be said. It's one man's opinion. I don't think that it is criminal to say these things. Have I committed a crime today? Have I committed some crime in the eyes of the U.S. government? I wouldn't know. But that I even have to ask myself that question is worrisome. That I even have to ask this to my vast public audience should worry you. Remember years ago, I even mentioned it earlier on the show, a former filmmaker, someone who's long forgotten. He's now an old winemaker, fat and happy, sitting in his vineyard in Napa Valley, like the character himself in The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah, it's true. He's a lifetime leftist. We understand that. That's how he got ahead in Hollywood. Of course he had talent. But he also understood which way the wind blew years ago. He knew that it blew from the left only. Only from the left. And so he was able to take his talent and write it very, very far indeed. But he did a movie years ago called The Conversation. And in this movie, it showed government agents sitting with headphones listening in on the conversations of ordinary Americans, and every liberal in America at the time went, oh, that's awful. They're spying on us. Why, it's like the Stasi in East Germany. Ooh, that's awful. But then again, Reagan was president at that time, so it was okay to criticize the government. But now that we actually have a Stasi in America doing what the Stasi did in the former Soviet Eastern European colonies, we don't hear a word coming from all of the liberals, do we? Why? Because they're doing it. Don't you understand what's happened to you? All of the fraudulent hippie drug addicts who shaved their beards and mustaches, put on suits and went to law school or journalism school, are now running America. And they are now the Stasi that they told you to worry about. They're doing everything that they feared was being done to them. So there we are. We've come full circle. The Stasi is now in place in the United States of America. The Stasi is now being run by the former liberals. The Biden-Monhoff gang is now running the United States of America at every level of government. Not as violently, of course, but the Biden-Monhoff mentality is now running the United States of America. That's right. I'll repeat it again. Those of you who know what I'm talking about. The Biden-Monhoff gang, the Red Brigades that were running Germany into the ground, are now running the United States of America at every level of government. Albeit they're cleaner, they don't have mustaches and beards, and they don't speak the same way, but they're doing the very same damage by frightening the ordinary American into submission and silence, by making you second-guess yourself, by making you fear that they're listening in on you, by making you ask yourself, is the government watching me? By making you not say what you know to be true at work or even at home. You're probably afraid to talk at home to your wife for fear that your house is being monitored. I'll bet $1 million that that's what you fear. I'll bet you whisper in your own house. And I'll bet you don't even know that you're whispering in your own house when you say certain things about Barack Hussein abomination. I'll bet you're afraid to even criticize the president in your own house. I'll bet that you're terrified that you're being listened in your own house. How did this happen to America? Because the Stasi is now running the United States of America. And we have no opposition party to represent the free citizens of this country. It's terrifying. But as again I say, I have reached a point of no return with this show. It's been four, you know, the 70. I mean, I hope I live longer. I don't know. What do I know what tomorrow brings? Nobody knows. I lost a guy, you know, wasn't a close friend, but someone I knew for 40 years. He died of ALS this morning. He's already in the ground. So who knows what tomorrow may bring? None of us know. And the fact of the matter is, here we are. New standards for America. Civilization itself has been destroyed over the last 15 to 20 years in this country. That's right. Civilization itself has been destroyed in this country. The freedom of our civilization has been destroyed. Instead, we have candidates talking about nothing. When do they talk about anything? And I turned the media on this morning, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was trying to digest my breakfast, and one after the other, all they're talking about is how much money Obama's raising as opposed to how much Romney and the others are raising. And then that insect of insects in the media, Wolf Blitzer, has the nerve to say, so, Candy, President Obama has raised more money himself than all of the Republican candidates combined. Is that correct, Candy? It's over to you. Yes, Wolf, that's true. The president has raised more money than all the Republicans together. However, I should say it's from small donors. It's not corporate money, Wolf. And the insect with that deadpan expression of his that makes me want to reach through the screen and shake him and say, how could an Israeli like you come to this country and do to this country what you are doing to it, Wolfie boy? Have you no shame, Wolfie? Don't you have relatives left in the world who know what fascism is? Wolfie, have you no shame, is what I'd like to say to the TV screen. Instead, I turn the television off and I wander off on my own with my dog and I look at the eternal beauty of nature. Watching this morning as I did the bay as the sun rose up from the East Bay.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today we're talking about, should the Marines accused of urinating on dead Taliban be court-martialed as the Marines are threatening because of the PC vermin? Or should they be given a medal for having the metal to face the enemy? And today we've talked about ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, because a friend of mine passed away this morning from this horrible Lou Gehrig's disease. And I'm going to ask you, which disease do you most fear dying from and why? How's that for a cheerful topic on the Savage Nation? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com for all of the news and more right here on the Savage Nation. And here we goes. Around and around it goes, and where it stops, nobody knows. So North Koreans who didn't mourn Kim sent to labor camp. Did you hear this story? Punished for not crying. Thousands of North Koreans faced labor camps for not being upset enough about the death of Kim Jong-il. Can you believe this? 6 months for anybody who didn't participate in the organized gatherings during the mourning period, or who did participate but didn't cry, didn't seem genuine. That's North Korea. That's North Korea under Madeleine Albright. Savage to GOP candidates, say this and you'll win. Why did Haley Barbour, a Republican, pardon so many people as he left office? FBI probes firebombing of New Jersey synagogue. More celebrities are going in and out of the White House to visit the celebrity president. Obama is schmoozing with the stars again. Animal rights activists take credit for arson at a beach ranch. I guess they wanted an early barbecue. Gingrich denies he's backing off attacks on Romney. Gingrich, you're a slimy evil man, Gingrich. Haiti, where did the money go? No kidding. The world pledged $12 billion after the earthquake. Where did it go? Muslim hate group wants Marines punished for not dying in battle. These are the Marines who had the guts to fight and kill the enemy, and then they peed on their corpses. So the hate group, CAIR, wants our Marines punished because apparently they survived the battle. South of the border, Mexico drug war has claimed 47,500 lives. Can you believe this? Could you believe this? And Obama keeps the borders open? Brazil. Brazil's going to stop immigration from Haiti. Bring them all into America. Obama needs a few more voters and a few more welfare recipients. Islamic murderer who shot two U.S. airmen who are unarmed at the airport is on trial. Islamic murderer who shot two U.S. airmen at Frankfurt Airport is on trial. Court rules Oklahoma ban on Islamic law unconstitutional. Even though most of the people in Oklahoma said no to Sharia law, the hate group, the Council on American Islamic Relations, sued the state of Oklahoma and won. Angry First Lady is tired of being portrayed as an angry black woman. The last moderate Democrat calls it quits. He was regarded as the brains behind the Daily Machine, so all the moderates are out. In Greece, which is bankrupt financially, there's a furor because pedophilia has been declared a disability. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, let's see. Paul and Gingrich are destroying the Republican brand. You agree with that? Driving record of cop who nabbed Obama's uncle released. The illegal alien uncle of Obama is attacking the cop. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Pig celebrity celebrates killing sharks. That would be talk show host Rosie O'Donnell. The great woman that she is seen in a photograph hanging a big hammerhead shark off the boat that she caught with her alleged children. I mean, with her children or whatever. Actor Steven Seagal behind on debt payments again. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Red wine researcher accused of fraud. He allegedly falsified his data in more than 100 instances. I guess he learned from the global warming people. Ringtone Hall's New York Philharmonic performance. Can you believe this? Someone would not turn off their cell phone. So the conductor stopped the performance until they would. Good God. Good God. All of this and more on MichaelSavage.com.
You've got to send a message. We are going to keep pushing and fighting for the change that we believe in. I've said before, I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect president. But I've promised you this, and I've kept this promise. I will always tell you what I believe. I will always tell you where I stand. I will wake up every single day thinking about how I can make this country better, and I will spend every ounce of energy that I have fighting for you. So if you still got that energy, if you're still fired up, if you are not weary, if you're ready to put on your walking shoes and get to work and knock on some doors and make some phone calls and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors and push through all the obstacles and keep reaching for that vision that you hold in your hearts, I promise you change will come. If you're willing to work even harder in this election than you did in that last election, I promise you change will come.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
Savage.
Target on the way you're addressing Romney's weaknesses. And I want to beg you to redirect and go after his obvious disingenuousness about his conservatism and lay off the corporatist versus the free market. I think it's nuanced. I would like you to
I agree with you. I think that it's an impossible theme to talk about with Obama in the background. That Obama just makes it impossible to talk rationally in that area. Because he is so deeply into class warfare that automatically you get an echo effect, which had, as a Reagan Republican, it frankly never occurred to me until it happened. So I agree with you entirely.
What else do we have here? Let us go to Frank in New York on WOR. Frank, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, being miserable is actually the natural state of affairs for man.
That's right. You're my kind of guy. That's right.
Yeah, and you proved it many times this past week by citing Ecclesiastes. One of the first words in that book is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he develops that theme in Ecclesiastes from the beginning to the end. And the reason for it is because one of the lines in Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. So when you have temporal success in this world, we're eternal beings. It's not enough. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord." So that's the problem. And
it's very beautiful theology. I mean, this is theologically very interesting to me. I feel as though I'm speaking with a wise man, Frank. Obviously, you're a very spiritual man, probably very religious as well. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think
are you of the Catholic faith?
And when you say
Frank, I'm sorry, Frank, are you of the Catholic faith?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very interesting. So where do you derive your peace of mind from?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael. Let me first say, your book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, is a fantastic book, and I would encourage anybody who didn't read it to read it.
It's unbelievable.
I think the mental disorder that results from liberalism is a side effect of liberalism. I believe that liberalism is essentially a spiritual disorder because liberals love everything that God hates, and God hates everything that liberals love.
Oh, Frank. Oh, this is good. This is very refreshing. This is better than eating a mint.
And also, I derive my peace, Michael, from God. You just go to God, whatever happens in life, whether it's good or bad. And in the New Testament, it says he gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's true. I've experienced it many, many times in my life, and it's a truly wonderful thing.
But as a Catholic, aren't you taught that man is basically burdened with original sin?
Yes.
Okay. So even though you are born with original sin, according to your religious teachings and beliefs, there's a way out of it.
Of course. God is always the way out of it. Always. You know,
I'm going to tell you something funny. I have this ongoing legal suit against England where I've been smeared and I can't get my name off the list. I'm like a fish on a hook. No matter which way I twist, the hook goes in deeper. It's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. The fake government in England that was supposed to get me off turned out to be liars through and through, as you well know. And, you know, some days it gets so bad, I don't know what to do. And, you know, when I stop struggling, you know what I say? It's God's will. There's a reason for it. The pain goes away. I completely feel no pain whatsoever.
Michael, you got the answer for it right in the Book of Psalms.
No, I know that. Well, I know that. I mean, I didn't get to this age by not having some techniques or tools to get through these agonies. Correct, Frank?
Right, of course. But, Michael, God says in Psalms, cease striving and know that I am God. Give yourself some peace. Don't let the English drive you nuts. Forget about that. It's not even important. And the level of success that you achieve in your life is staggering. Most individuals who have achieved truly great, the pinnacles of their profession, people like Beethoven and Michelangelo, were tragic figures. And those are the most creative people on the planet. I mean, that type, you know. And I just...
Frank, I have a couple of... Frank, are you a father?
No, I never.
I don't mean a priest. I mean, do you have a children?
No, I have no children.
Well, you would be a wonderful teacher. You would have been a fine father. The way you speak is so reassuring. What do you do, Frank?
I'm a musician. I'm a jazz musician.
Oh man, I should have gone in that direction. I had no way to know.
Yeah, that's an animal.
So, what instrument? What instrument do you play, Frank?
Guitarist.
Guitarist?
Guitarist, yes.
So you played in clubs all your life, right?
Oh yeah, I played. Yes, of course. Many.
Did you play? Did you play like in the old Lenny Bruce days, Village Vanguard, Village Gate?
Yeah, no, but no, I'm in my late 50s, Michael. So.
Oh, you're a young guy. You're a young guy.
Yeah, I'm younger. You know, a little too young for that. But
yeah.
No, I did a lot of club day gigs and everything like that there.
So you've been around everything imaginable. You've been around the drugs. You've been around the booze. The whole deal, right?
And I grew up in Greenwich Village in Manhattan, you know.
Oh, you're a West Villager.
Yes, yes. And,
well, that was a beautiful neighborhood. It's always been a beautiful neighborhood, one of my favorites. Always loved it.
Yeah.
Always loved that neighborhood. Always loved it. Always fond of it. Washington Square will always stay in my heart. I could ask a million questions about it, but I won't because it's a little on the sidetrack. I'm going to ask you one question. Why do you listen to my radio show?
Because you have been gifted, Michael, with gifted insight. The insight that you have in life and in the world can only come from one source, and that one source is God. This is why liberals are so tormented. I have a few friends now who are atheists, and I must tell you, Michael, they're the most angriest, miserable people on the planet. And that's because they're distancing themselves further and further from God. I try to give them the gospel. They don't even want to hear it. But a guy like you, who I know believes in God, could only get you. In my personal opinion, Michael, I think you're a genius. And I think, I know for a fact that that gift can only come from God, because he is the author of all gifts. It says that in the New Testament. And I'm not saying this to butter you up. Believe me.
No, I'm sitting here almost like, where's this coming from? Obviously, I like what you're saying because it's all complimentary. But there's a truth in what you're saying from your own heart, which is what's resonating on the radio. People know what's... See, they can hear the truth. You know, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. So I'm saying your truth is your truth, but you're not saying it for any other reason other than you believe it. But you certainly could be doing something else other than listening to this show, correct?
Oh, absolutely, of course. I enjoy listening to you because you go right to the heart of them. You know, there's no pretense with you. And
if I were a musician, if I were a jazz musician, Frank, what instrument would I be playing?
Oh, my goodness. Are you? Well, you have that stream of consciousness, Michael. So I would say probably more of a saxophone type.
Bingo! I swear to God, I knew you were going to say it. I'd definitely be an alto sax, not a baritone sax, where you step right in like Coltrane, the greatest genius on the horn ever. Right or wrong? I mean, do you still revere that guy?
Absolutely. John Coltrane
right.
is fantastic.
The best. The absolute best. But he could step out of nowhere with one note and bring you right into his world of music.
Yeah,
like nobody on earth. Nobody on earth. I can't say I modeled my show on him because I do words. I don't do music, and I have no facility to even read music or play music. I have no capacity for languages nor music. Would you believe that, Frank?
No,
Frank,
music.
you and I could talk forever over a coffee or a drink. It'd be amazing. I doubt that it will ever happen in real life because it never does. But, Frank, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm sending you a free copy of my novel, Abuse of Power, and I'd love to hear what you think of it. And I want you to give your email to my producer who'll send it to me, and I want to start a little correspondence. After you read it, okay, you'll send him your review, and then I'll get back to you. Is that good enough? Because I want to see it. And what I want to do on the way out of this particular segment, guys, while Frank's hanging to get his number and all, get some Coltrane up if you haven't gotten it already. I mean, there's a couple of incredible ones. You know the ones I love. And girls, you don't have to be stoned to love jazz. You don't have to be a stew bum drunk to be a musician. You can love God and you can be a musician and you can love God and be Einstein. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is Mitt Romney the inevitable GOP nominee, or can he still be beaten? Well, why would we even ask that question? Who would we want, Newt Gingrich? Well, joining us with his opinion right now in the Savage Nation is Matt Mikowiak, a Washington, D.C.-based political consultant and a columnist for Town Hall, the Daily Caller, and many other locales. Matt, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be with you.
After winning Iowa and New Hampshire, can anyone beat Romney?
Well, with every minute that passes, the likelihood that Romney's not the nominee seems to diminish. If you look at all the other candidates, you know, they don't control their own destiny. They now have to have a number of things happen, fall their way. Romney has to make mistakes. Someone has to win South Carolina by a large margin. The other candidates have to support the winner of South Carolina. Florida's got to be either close or go in favor of the person that wins South Carolina. You've got to have to raise money, huge amount of money, before Super Tuesday to be able to compete on Super Tuesday. So, look, this race has always required consolidation of conservatives behind one candidate in order to beat Romney. Romney had too many advantages. He ran last time. He had large high name ID, strong organization. He's been able to unify the establishment and the moderates in a pretty effective way. And he's also learned a lot. He's a better candidate this time than he was last time. So he had a lot of strengths. And the conservative candidates have both been weak and have also split the vote. And so that's been a recipe for Romney's success.
In your opinion, what effect is Ron Paul having on this race?
Ron Paul's had a couple different discrete, distinct impacts on the race. First of all, I think he's brought the entire field to the right on economic issues. It used to be that talking about auditing the Fed and sound money were sort of extreme views that were on the extreme side of the party that were not mainstream views. It's clear that both because of the overreach of the Obama administration, the way that the economy is working today, and everything else, and also really just through the effectiveness of Ron Paul's campaign, the entire field has moved in his direction. Used to be he was really extreme. Now on the economic issues, he's really kind of in the mainstream. That's number one. Number two, he has awoken libertarians around the country. And, some percentage of his vote would be going to conservative candidates.
Some percentage of his vote is also coming from the left on foreign policy and from moderates and independents and unlikely general election voters, voters that don't traditionally participate in general elections. Look, ultimately, the question is that, you know, Ron Paul is anywhere between 17% and 25% in each of these states in the primary. The question is, where will he end up, and what happens at the end when he has, you know, say 15% to 20% of the overall delegates? He is going to have a bargaining chip. It will be interesting to see how that plays out, if he wants an appointment into the cabinet or if he just wants to earn certain concessions on issues. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but I do think he's going all the way to the convention. I do think he wants to speak at the convention. I do think he wants to create a movement that his son can take over, and I do think he wants to take the country in a certain direction on the economic issues and on restoring the Constitution.
Well, what's the importance of South Carolina to all of these candidates?
South Carolina is critical. South Carolina is really the last best chance to derail the Romney freight train to the nomination. South Carolina is a very conservative state, the first southern state. It's been a tremendous indicator of who the eventual nominee will be in recent history. It's a state a conservative should win, and so because a conservative should win, it should also help the coalescing behind that candidate that has to happen. Look, right now you have Perry, Santorum, and Newt Gingrich. Split three ways, none of them can beat Romney. If all three of them team up together and the vast majority of their individual support get behind one candidate, you can envision a scenario where that person is able to defeat Romney over a long primary. But that's only going to happen if we have a clear winner in South Carolina. Newt seems intent on dragging Romney down, which I think will hurt him as well. Santorum had a strong performance in Iowa, but a weak performance in New Hampshire. And Perry is sort of on life support right now and is focusing exclusively on South Carolina, hoping that his own military background, his social views on socially conservative issues, and really his diligence and focus and his remaining resources will allow him to do well there. So everybody has their own strategy. They're not driving events. They're not controlling their own destiny. They need other people to perform poorly. But if one person comes out of South Carolina with strength, you can see it. You can envision a scenario where there is coalescing behind that one candidate, and that person becomes the anti-Romney going forward.
Obviously, Romney is not the choice of some of the more conservative voters, including myself, but I would choose him over most of the others since he might win. And since he's almost certain to be the nominee, what does he need to do to gain the support of the more conservative members of the Republican Party? As you well know, I wrote an article, which is on michaelsavage.com, saying he must address the illegal alien problem.
I think the suspicion about Romney has always been that he'd run as a conservative in the primary, almost in a sort of attempt to fool people, and then run as a moderate in the general election, not only to win, but also because it's sort of who he is inside. We will see. Look, I don't think that you have to run as a moderate to beat Obama in 2012. I think the economy is so poor, Obama's been so incompetent, so much overreach, that you can actually run as a conservative to win. Now, whether that's who Romney really is and what he wants to do if he's elected remains to be seen. I think he does need to shore up his conservative base, the conservative base, once he becomes the nominee, and he's got to be very skillful about doing that very quickly. Because if he doesn't do that, there's potential for a third-party candidate, which would prevent him from winning the presidency. So he's got to immediately reach out to conservatives, put their fears to rest, commit to them on several specific issues that he is sincere. But then also he does need a message that can play to the middle. He's got to be able to compete in the suburbs of the large cities in Pennsylvania and Ohio, across the Midwest, in places like Iowa and Wisconsin, going into even the Southwest in places like Colorado. He's got to be able to compete there with, you know, some of these targeted constituencies, you know, if you want to call them soccer moms or suburban moms, the white working class. You know, these are constituencies that Obama was able to successfully win votes from that he has lost their support over the last 2 years. Romney's got to be able to pick off those constituencies. So the trick is he's got to be able to convince conservatives that he truly is conservative, but he's got to run a race in the general election where he's able to attract moderates and independents and November voters in addition to the base.
Who in your mind would be the ideal addition to Romney as VP candidate to defeat Barack Obama?
boy, the bench for VP is stunningly strong. There are probably 20 individuals he could select that I would be enthusiastic about. I think most conservatives would be enthusiastic about. Look, ultimately, you've got to look at this and say, you know, about what vice presidential choice shores me up where I'm weak, helps me perhaps win a state, and also is an individual who could become president on a moment's notice if a tragedy occurred. And so I think you've got to look at someone like Chris Christie. You've got to look at someone like perhaps Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Susana Martinez, if you want a Hispanic and a female executive in New Mexico, has been a great governor. There's a really long list. Insiders tell me that Rob Portman, the freshman senator from Ohio, former OMB director, former, I believe he was USTR, U.S. Trade Representative, I think he's also likely to be considered because he is an establishment choice. He's no one dislikes him. He won in Ohio in a tough state by a large margin last year. So I think he may have the inside shot for being the choice that no one will be upset about. But I do think I think Romney needs to excite conservatives, and I think he can do that with someone like Paul Ryan, perhaps Nikki Haley in South Carolina. There are a number of exciting choices. So the choice for vice president is a really deep bench. I think Romney personally probably wants to choose between Chris Christie and Tim Pawlenty. But ultimately, he's going to have to look at the map, look at where he's weak, where he has problems, and try to solve as many problems as he can with his vice presidential choice without accumulating any new problems.
Matt Mikowiak, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to talk to you.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I was wondering if I could ask you a life coach question.
You know, that's what I want to do today, life coach. I'm so bored of the news. All right, I'll be Dr. Savage, life coach. Question, please.
Should I get a PhD in molecular biology, or should I go get a medical doctorate degree in medical school?
Are you a white male?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a white male need not apply for any positions in the universities today, particularly if you're brilliant. You'll be working behind some of the stupidest people on earth who will pick on you until you eventually leave your chosen profession. So that answers the question of a PhD. Now, with regard to your medical degree, it sounds if you're a bright enough guy, in the old days you would have wanted to be a doctor. But today the field of being a doctor is not that coveted anymore, is it?
Well, I mean, looking at the future of healthcare, kind of got an interest in science, but I'm not so sure.
Well, you'll always make a living as a medical doctor. The problem is with managed care, you're going to be answering to some dummy in the government, probably with less than an AA degree. Some AA dummy who was pushed ahead in the health department will actually be telling you, a doctor, what you can do and what you can't do. I mean, you want to answer to a moron who works for Obama or the next idiot in the White House?
Not
My
really.
Suggestion is that you become a talk show host. No. If you're good in science, and the molecular biology is a fabulous field. It's fascinating. But if you're a white male, you're going to be picked on and you're going to be pushed aside for some dummy who can sit over you and tell you what to do wrong. So I don't know what to recommend. I mean, the fields of science and medicine are not what they used to be. If, of course, you had broken into America illegally or came here as a foreign exchange student, I would say go in either of those fields because the world is your oyster. But since you're a native-born American white male, I would say the future is quite dim for you in either field.
Yeah.
I'm a cynic. Look, Matt, I'm quite cynical about the university system today. They're cauldrons of communism and hatred. And I see what happened. Did you see what happened to the Spanish professor last week? I don't know where it was. Was it at Yale or it was at Princeton? He had taught there for 6 or 8 years, right? And he came up for tenure, and a couple of commie stooges in the department lower than him ran a hate campaign against him. They denied him tenure, and he had to go back to Spain because his green card would have expired. He committed suicide because he couldn't take the shame. Do you know how they got rid of him? to a girl. He raised his voice to one of the girl's students at some point. She said it was considered sexually hostile. And to one of the boys who was not listening to him, one of the students, the grad students, he said, why don't you stop rubbing your crotch and start doing some work? He took that as a sexist statement, and they drummed him out of the professorship. Can you believe what's going on in these schools today?
I can. I mean, as an undergrad, I saw it all the time. I mean, professors are so biased, and the politics in academia is disgusting, to say the least. But
right, but so you're a conservative young. What year are you in undergrad?
Well, I graduated in 2009. So.
You graduated what, from college?
Yes.
And you want to go back to school now?
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't get an MBA because you'll be chasing your tail. There are so many people with MBAs that couldn't run a souvlaki stand in Manhattan. I don't think they could qualify to buy a taxi license. They wouldn't even know how to go about the payoffs to buy a taxi license today. So I really don't know what to advise anybody anymore. I would say, do you have any inclination towards business at all?
That's kind of the problem. I'm much more of I like the pure aspect of science.
So you're a theoretical guy, and you really do belong in science. And if we still lived in America, I wouldn't even be having this conversation with you. You wouldn't even be asking me. If we still lived in America that was fair, you would just simply apply to graduate school and be a molecular biologist and have a career as a professor, I would guess, right?
Probably.
All right, but you're asking this question because you know in advance of asking it what kind of impediments that would be put in the way of you as a white male. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's part of the problem, and all the politics besides being a conservative.
Yes, so I don't know the answer. You know, if you had a business orientation, I would say try to develop a product and take it to market. I mean, that's a long shot, but it can be done. But you don't. You're a theoretical guy, so you're going to have to go into academia, and you may have to put up with dummies telling you what to do. That may be the price you have to pay for pursuing your chosen profession. You may have to listen to absolute morons who are your department chairman, you know, who came from some third world nation and was pushed right to the top of the heap because they pushed everyone around with threats.
There's really no room for freedom of thought.
No. There's no room for excellence in the university, if that's what you're thinking. Excellence be damned. No, excellence be damned. Well, what do you think? We're living in China, a free country? All right. I wish I had an answer. You see, sometimes even a life coach doesn't have an answer. Only a fool would hazard a guess to tell you what to do. Sometimes it's a mixture of intelligence, an intelligent decision, and fate. What are you doing right now, by the way? I don't mean this minute, but what are you doing with your life at this time?
Well, right now I'm seriously considering this.
I'm saying, are you working right now?
Yeah. Loans from undergrad.
I'm sorry. What are you doing?
I'm just working at a local place, trying to pay back loans from undergrad. So.
Okay. What city do you live in? Florida.
Yeah, in Florida.
No, I was going to offer you a job, but okay, you live too far away. All I can say is good luck. I don't have an answer. That's all. I don't know you well enough, and I don't know your other inclinations. New York City, WOR Rich, you have a question. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Uncle Michael, how are you?
Good.
I'm in the telecommunications industry. I'm 40 years old. I'm looking to make a change. I'm going to school. It's not an easy thing. Every time I look around, I keep seeing how corporate America works, and it's nothing exciting.
Hold. You're in communications right now?
Yeah, I work for a telephone company, and they're paying for me to finish my degree. I'm looking to make
all right.
a change.
Well, 40 is a very interesting age. It's an age of enlightenment for man. It's a very important age in a man's life. It's a transitionary. It's a transition in a man's life that is unlike any other I have found. So it is actually a very good time for you to make a change in your life. It's not the last chance, but it is a very good time to have these questions. In society's in flux, it's also a very opportune time for you to start thinking. So answer your own question, Rich. I'll pretend I'm your father. What have you thought about doing?
Well, my main thing is, after seeing all the ridiculousness going on in corporate America,
it looks to me that you can't rely on anybody but yourself. And I keep coming back to starting my own business.
Yes, but in this environment, this economy, you really need a better mousetrap to take that shot.
That's why I'm making a call. You know, do I stick it out, finish my degree, and then see what happens with the economy afterwards?
Yes, absolutely no. This is not a time to go out. And you're not living in an age where you can have the ultimate optimism that you may have had 10 or 15 years ago, where you're sure something will work out. There's no guarantee anything is going to work out tomorrow, because you started by saying someone is paying for your schooling right now, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So wait a minute. So the basics are being taken care of. They're paying you a salary while you're going to school?
And they'll pay for my master's degree if I choose to.
Absolutely. Stick it out. But here's the thing. Instead of partying with your friends, you should spend all of that spare time looking at your opportunities in your spare time.
Three young kids. I spend all my extra time with my kids.
Oh, you're a married guy with kids, no less. That's great. Well, okay, so you're doing it for them. And look, your kids need you, but let me put it this way. You actually have to come first right now. Because if you don't have a livelihood, your kids are not going to have a very good life, right?
Well, you're right. You know, we have a decent life. You know, I'm nothing extravagant. But, you know, one of my biggest fears, I have to put this out there, is, you know...
Does your wife work?
Master's degree. Am I going to be at an awkward age in corporate...
But Rich, does your wife work?
Yes, my wife works.
All right, so you both have a dual income. So you're actually on a plateau right now. You have nothing to worry about. Take a deep breath. Spend much more time evaluating your possibilities after you have that master's degree. It's not going to hurt your having it. Even if you go into a totally different field or even a business, it's going to help you think more clearly. Okay, that's all I can say to you. Yes, stick out the master's degree.
Savage.